Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The European Central Bank surprised markets this morning by cutting its key interest rate to a record low. The ECB trimmed its benchmark interest rate to 0.05% from a previous record low of 0.15%. The benchmark refinancing rate determines what banks pay the ECB for credit. The Commerce Department today says that the U.S. trade gap narrowed in July, reflecting stronger demand for U.S. goods overseas. The U.S. trade deficit shrank 0.6% to $40.55 billion in July from June, as both exports and imports rose. Exports increased 0.9% to $198.02 billion, while imports climbed 0.7% to $238.57 billion. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 120,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations, that for the 2014-15 marketing year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 17,114, it's up 41 points. The NASDAQ 4,083, up almost 12. The S&P 500 is 2,003, and it is up 5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the U.S. Midwest is still expecting to see relatively improved weather as we move forward through the next couple of weeks. And by improved, I'm talking about a little less frequent, less significant rainfall. And that's probably the most important part of the big picture for a big part of the region. It's been too wet here recently. And the change is going to help to support a better environment for crop maturation and eventual harvest progress. And that's probably the best news. But we do have two waves of precipitation that will be moving through the Midwest as we go forward through this first week of the outlook. The first wave will precede some cooler air that will be moving across the region here tomorrow into the weekend. We'll be looking at this first wave of rain beginning tonight into tomorrow across the western Corn Belt, and it will likely be in the eastern areas tomorrow into early Saturday. Most of the rainfall is expected to be light, but many areas across the Midwest will still see another risk of showers and thunderstorms during this period of time. Then there will be a few days of dry weather that will come in until the next round of cooler air starts to push into the Midwest, and we'll look for another round of precipitation early next week across parts of the region. Probably Monday and Tuesday in the western Corn Belt, we'll probably see some midweek rainfall in the eastern parts of the region as well. Most of the precipitation in both these precipitation events is expected to be mostly on the light side. I think there will be some potential for some moderate amounts of rain, but mostly in the lower parts of the Midwest. If we were to lump all of the rain together for the next 7 days, we'd go with amounts of 0.2 to 0.8 inches across a big part of the region, and there will be some potential for some 1 to 2 inch totals in scattered locations, mostly favoring the south. The other issue in the Midwest, of course, is the temperature bias, and first we're going to be seeing some very warm conditions occurring across the region today. Today will be the warmest day we'll see probably for the next 10 days. We'll look for a lot of highs in the 80s and some lower 90s across a big part of the Midwest, and we'll expect cooler air to work its way from west to east across the region as we go from Friday into Saturday. Friday's afternoon temperatures may only be in the 60s and 70s in the western or northwestern half of the Midwest, while temperatures in the southeast half will probably still be rather warm, with certainly readings in the 80s likely again. The cooler air will overspread all of the region, though, as we move into Saturday afternoon, and the highs then will likely be confined mostly to the 70s across a big big part of the region. Well, we will then expect to see a bit of a warming trend occur again across the Midwest as we move to the latter part of the weekend and early next week, temperatures getting back into the 70s and perhaps some 80s at that point in time. But, of course, the big focus of market attention, it continues to be on the potential for a cold surge coming up across the U.S. Midwest next week. The latest model data has backed off tremendously on the impact on Midwest crop areas, and this change in today's forecast is definitely a better outlook. World Weather Incorporated, of course, never bought into the coldest air that was being advertised yesterday, and the forecast today suggests that only a risk of some frost might develop in the upper parts of the Midwest, but this is still a week to 10 days from now, and I would be very cautious still, even with that comment made, and we'll just need to continue to watch the situation rather closely. There is no risk of crop damaging cold in any part of the Midwest over the next 7 days. The coolest air will likely begin to influence the region as we get into the latter part of next week and the following weekend, and we'll start noticing some of this cooling taking place in Canada during the middle part of next week. In the meantime, our low temperatures across the Midwest will rarely be cooler than 40s and 50s, and that will occur mostly this weekend. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter September wheat, 604 and three quarters up four. Soft September, 522 down 1.5. September corn, 338.5 down 2.75. December, 348.75 down 3.25. September soybeans, 1074.5 down 6.25. November, 1011.75 down 8.25. September soybean meal, 442.30 down 4.90. September soybean oil, 31.93 up 20 cents. October live cattle, 158.35 up 292.5. September feeders are 224.92.5. They're up 222.5 as well. October lean hogs are 103.37.5, and they're up 227.5. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgReview, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning, Dave.
Seems like the European Central Bank decision to lower its key interest rates is as much as anything that's a market factor this morning.
I sure think so. If you look at the dollar, we're back up over 8,300 in we've tried that twice before this week, and weren't able to hold it on a close basis, but certainly moving up to this 83.35 level is just right where a downtrend line crosses, so if we should go above that, looks like we could even work higher.
What do we make of corn and beans making new lows for the move this week?
I think part of the reason that we've made new lows is the fact that this dollar is as strong as it is, because that kind of cuts off export interest. Foreign buyers are finding it a little bit more expensive to buy from the U.S. than to buy, say, Black Sea wheat or Ukraine corn or even South American corn.
We did have a corn sale this morning, 120,000 metric tons to unknown for the 14-15. That hasn't impressed the market either.
No, it sure has, and that kind of surprised me given the way the spreads looked. I didn't really anticipate that we would see that export business, but the market really shrugged it off rather easily, thinking that this is the time frame when Asian countries, Japan, South Korea, typically come in and do some buying.
So let's look at the corn market in particular. What are the factors you're looking at today?
Not much commercial interest in this corn. That's what the spreads are saying, and it just could slide down into this report that we've got. USDA comes out with their next monthly crop update next week, next Thursday. And I think all these private estimates have ratcheted up the yields, and certainly the weekly reports that are showing good to excellent ratings continuing to stay strong has the trade believing that this crop is well over 14 billion bushel now.
No commercial interest in corn or soybeans, and the September-November spread has just totally collapsed.
Yeah, the September-November bean spread has collapsed. We were at $1.50 last week, and we're, you know, less than half of that now. It's going to be difficult to see this bean market rebound unless we see these disease issues that really seem to show up in the Western Corn Belt more so than in the Eastern Corn Belt, unless those show up to be yield robbers. We've got crush margins. They're just excellent. Those good crush margins go all the way out into the spring.
Turn our attention to livestock, which has figuratively and in reality regained its futures legs.
Yeah, it sure has, and particularly led by the feeder cattle and the fat cattle. Those things just have bounced way high off lows that we put in a couple of weeks ago. We saw small kills last week in the live cattle, and that's really pushed up the cash prices for this week, and the feedlots really grabbing hold of it.
Thank you much, Alan. That's Alan Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Moreton, Illinois. Current tick, September corn, 338.25 down 3. December, 348.5 down 3.5. September beans, 1074.5 down 6.25. November, 1009 down 11. September soybean meal, 443.20 down $4. September soybean oil, 31.88 up 15 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 901 Central Time.